to peace. Welcome to episode 76 of Two Piece Starts Live. He's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We hope you enjoy the show
today.
I think this will be the first podcast that will actually be less funny than the comic. I just have a feeling.
What? I like our comic, dude.
No, I'm saying the podcast will be less funny than the comic. Like, normally, the podcasts are funnier.
But
like,
see,
there's more content. Like,
well,
there,
so, yes,
you know, you could have, like, you could have, like, a poor comic, and like, well, at least their podcast will still be entertaining this week.
So we'll make fun of ourselves, yeah.
Right, because, I mean, really, it's like, how are we going to top it for next week, right? Like, it's not going
to
happen.
You always say that the podcasts have to be better every week, but the comics don't necessarily have to, right?
That's right. But see, since the comic won't be any good next week, then I'll be like, hey, like, let's make this podcast kind of lame to settle people back into the regular character. No.
It's all planned all
right.
out.
Well, we're going to jump right into it this week. Comic talk. This week we had Ray's adventures in dating.
Ah, yes.
And by Ray, we don't mean me. We mean cartoon Ray. There
Wait,
is a difference.
That was what you told me it happened last week. And you had three dates, and that's mm-hmm, basically mm-hmm. how they all went.
They were all in similarly colored restaurants. I just asked Applebee's to change the lighting every time to
right.
match their outfit. Yeah, but... Yeah,
that was a great.
Oh man,
I don't know. It turned out awesome. I think
it did. I was very happy with it. Yeah.
Both in how it went down, like planning it, and then the execution and the reception. It all kind of came together real nice.
It's great because it's kind of a reminder that like we still have it. You know, like we still
yeah.
got it, Tim.
Once
we still
in a while,
have the humor.
We pull it all together and it works. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you were like, I don't have an idea for comic this week. And essentially that's how we start off comic talk every week, right? I mentioned that part, where it's like, we don't have any ideas. I'm like, okay. And then we just got to talking about my personal life. And then like, one joke just led to another, which led to another. And, like, I was already laughing so hard when you're like, we should have, like, the GameStop employee, you know, marrying the two of them. I was just laughing, and then you're like, he should wear a chip hat and be like, press A to get married. And I just,
we
like...
We both lost it at that point, I think. We were just... I was in tears.
I literally dropped to my knees on the floor and just laughed.
I just couldn't contain myself. I was in tears, and it was like, yeah, we have to do this because it's that funny to us.
Now, the sad part was, like, it was taking me so long that it's like, I'll be working on the comic, midnight will kind of come around, sometimes he'll be like, hey, how's it going, you know, as, like, a sign of, hey, Ray, I'm going to bed, if you want to give it to me soon, do it now, or else I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And you'll give him, like, a word of encouragement, you know. This time, you just signed off. There was no... It's like,
yeah,
it's like you knew it was going to take forever, and
yeah,
I didn't mention anything, so...
Yeah.
So it's like, here was my controversy. It's like 2:15 a.m., okay? I have work in the morning. And I'm like, well, I finished the marriage panel. Technically, this is enough to end the joke. Do I really want to go on and do the GameStop employee wearing the chip mask and saying the line? You know, because I have to do two more panels, I have to zoom in,
mm-hmm.
I have to draw the chip mask, I have to do just a little bit of extra work, and I'm like... I don't know if I should do it or not. I'm like, because it's almost like we're going past the punchline. Because I'm always worried about those things. Like,
sure.
Taking the joke too far. Like, what's the joke here? And in this case, it was like, since the comic is lots of little jokes continuously, I'm like, I feel like I have permission this time to keep it running a little bit longer. Eventually, I'm like, you know what? I'll do it. I got done at like 3:15. And I'm like, I'm going to bed.
When I saw the email came in the morning, I saw the timestamp on it, I just felt horrible. I'm like, I got a full night's rest, you know, Ray slaved over the comic, and he's got to go to work in the morning, that's going to be miserable. I was like feeling for you there.
Oh,
but
it was tough, let me tell
I
you.
Saw the, I saw the comic, I'm like, yeah, it was worth it. He's going to just be
worth
tired
it. That's
today,
how I felt, yeah, because I'm like, it's
okay
going to be worth
that.
It, yeah, just keep chugging through. No, that was the thing at work. See, when I was at work, I realized very quickly I could either focus with my eyes or I could think. But I couldn't do both at the same time. Okay? Right. So I'd be like, wait, what am I doing right now? Where am I trying to go? I'm like, okay, look away, you know, kind of blur my vision through the computer screen, like, brightness contrast. Okay, where is that? I can't see it. Where am I? Oh, yeah, focus. Got it. Okay, like,
multitasking when you go to bed at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, man, it was, and I didn't, yeah. I almost had, like, this feeling of, like, I need to drink a beer now at 2 a.m. Like, I need to, like, get a beer and, like, settle through this. I'm like, no, I don't want to make this a normal habit of, like, drinking a beer to finish a comic every night, you know? Like, that's not going to be a good habit. So, yeah.
You're going to start having a six-pack during the podcast, and just a slippery slope from there, Ray.
Well, there's one can left at this point, you know? Like, maybe I should just drink this for the podcast. Like, when am I going to have it?
Right.
But I'll just start slurring my speech. It probably won't be good. But,
it already gets a little sloppy by the end of the podcast anyway, so we don't need
exactly. Well, thanks for your ideas. I mean, that was a classic example of us bouncing ideas back and forth. And really, there was no, like, hey, maybe it should be this. Like, no, what's something else we could do instead? It's like, it just came.
It just happened,
fell straight into place. It's like, you know what? That's just, it's not going to get much better than that. Let's do it.
Well, it's a reminder of how we sometimes used to do, you know, come up with comic ideas. If we really didn't have something solid, we just call each other up and say, okay, let's just talk and something will happen, you know?
Yeah, and not even, like, let's not even talk about the comic. Like, let's just chat about,
like,
stuff.
What's going on, yeah.
And then eventually we'll land an idea. Yeah, oh, totally. And that's the thing, like, this is why I'm glad I like to think if we gave each comic more time to work on, it would be better than if we did it weekly. But in reality, we would have never have done that joke unless we had had that phone call of, like, I don't have any ideas about the comic.
Right.
You know, if we were to give, like, a whole month towards thinking about something, we never would have thought about that. We, like, having it force us to make a joke, you know, it was like, okay, we have to make a joke. Okay, got it. Let's do it now.
Yeah, you need a deadline to keep you accountable, basically.
Yes, and it needs to be balanced, too, because if you're like, okay, let's just do a comic every day, you know,
yeah,
you'll have that deadline, but you'll never be able to uphold it. So I think 1 week for us is just kind of the right amount, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we had a lot of comments, a lot of really wonderful comments, and first we're going to get to those that have never commented before, but have secretly been lurking around the site for ages, and they finally decided to show themselves. And for that, we have a segment called Rise from Your Grave.
Rise from Your Grave.
Many Two Piece Start fans tend to lurk behind the shadows, hiding their faces by reading our comics, but never leaving a single comment.
So when one
finds the courage to break free from the shackles of silence, we salute you.
Okay, so Lottl, thank you for rising from your grave. He said, darn it, you guys, I wanted to get by without posting a comment. I don't want to rise from my grave. It's comfortable to be in my grave.
Boo.
It's my thing.
Get out of here.
But today's comic hits close to home. A quest I took up years ago has led me to a chick who is not only gorgeous, but can kick my ass in Smash Brothers. And I like the punchline. Freaking dog fairy. I don't want to press A all the time.
All right, our next grave riser goes to Attack Raccoon, who said, oh my god, this is so funny. It's turned me into a grave riser. Achievement unlocked. I was actually expecting this comic to be lame. You know, like most date movies. But I lulled hard all over the place. Such perfect comedic timing, which is impressive for a comic. The length caught me off guard, and so did the ending. I think because it's unlike most of your other comics is why it was so hilarious. Thank you. By the way, I've been a fan of the podcast for a long time and a fan of the comics for an even longer time. Keep up the great work, guys.
All right, and then we have Froggy, who said, hey guys, greetings from Cape Town, South Africa. And I'm not going to do the accent because I'll butcher it.
Hello.
Long-time podcast listener and comic reader, first-time commenter here. So this is my official Rise from Your Grave comment. And I think I'm the first Southern Hemisphere guy to do it. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but, well, we're happy to have you. Move over, Miss Hilton. Trendsetter coming through, LMAO. Gotta say, I'm totally digging the podcast, especially the Black Doom Award and the internet booty. Just call it booty, you know you wanna.
No.
Anyway, keep up the good work, and if you ever on this side of the world, drop by for a coffee and a flan or something. Ciao.
Nice to have you on board. Next up we have Air Knight, who said, okay, this comic is epic. So epic that I am rising from my grave to comment. I read this comic while at a store during a band trip. Me and my friend I'm not drinking the beer, I swear.
Come on.
Me and my friend went to find a computer with internet access because the college wouldn't allow us to hook up to their Wi-Fi without a student ID. So we found a few laptops with access in one of the stores on the first floor, and being Wednesday, I decided to check the site. I completely lost it. I think the five people in the store were all looking at me. My friend asked why I had suddenly gone into a laughing fit. I showed him the comic, and he looked at the last 15 comics at least. I've got to say, you guys sure know how to write a comic. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Air Knight.
That was a great one, because, you know, people are spreading the word, getting their friends on board, and that's always...
Yep, passing the drugs around, we like it.
That's right, yeah. Okay, so D&D Productions said, first, I've been reading this comic since the Mario Kart comic, and I've listened to about 10 podcasts, at least he's honest, right?
Yes.
Just had to get that out of the way, you know? Everyone else does, and then mentions that they are rising from their grave. Moving on, this comic is incredibly freaking awesome. I don't even know what was so awesome about it. It just exudes awesomeness. Plus, I counted four people who rose from their grave comic was too epic not to comment on. With me, that makes five. P.S. So now I get to be in someone's podcast, right? Cool. P.P.S. That business guy can never seem to hold down a job, can he? He's practically a recurring character now. It's always fun to throw him in there when we don't know who else to put in. So.
I know. Well, you made sense there was like the GameStop person, but I'm like, no, I'll make him a pastor now.
Yeah.
He's found God. He still plays Mad World, but he's a Christian. Next goes, finally, the last Grave Riser goes to Bright Nico, who said, wow, after reading this, I just had to make an account. I've been a longtime fan, but this was the kicker. The wedding made me chuckle, but once the chip mask went on, I fell over laughing. Great work. But when thinking about it, would she really allow Chip as a classic Sonic fan? I'm like, oh my gosh, you're right. Because I intentionally made her Tails to be classic Sonic, like as classic as you can get. And to make it about as creepy as you can get with the Tails being a guy thing, and it kind of matched her colors for her character too, and so Chip just seemed obvious because GX Echidna kind of mentioned to me like, why do you guys rip on Chip all the time? Like, he's not as bad compared to the other helping characters.
He's a
had.
Symbol.
That's right. That's
to,
what
to
it
me,
is for
he's
us.
He's a like, symbol of,
exactly.
of all that is wrong in the Sonic universe.
Exactly, because. I mean, we started making those because really, what the voice we're always referencing is Charmy the Bee. You know, like,
that's right.
Hey, Shadow, help me find the secret disc. Like, it's right there. But like, Chip was. I mean, in Japan, Chip sounds similar to that. But really, it's like he's not even really an animal of any kind. I mean, he just looks strange. He's a fairy dog thing, and he. And he's following
he
Sonic
ice
around.
Cream
he has no real need to be there. So we use him because we've used him so far. So it's like, you know what? Now it's a reoccurring joke. We can't stop it.
That's right. Plus, there was all those what do you call them? Prototype images of him that just scare you and like.
Oh yeah. Oh exactly.
He could have looked like any of these, and it all would have been horrible. You know.
Well, for every great comic comes great comments. And actually, hold on. By the way, those of you who are still sitting in your grave, seriously, you know
what
you love
up?
Us. Get out. Come on. You don't need a good comic to do it. See, that's the fairy fantasy
the dog,
that people
dog
have
fairy
the
fantasy,
fairy dog
yes.
fantasy. Is that, it, like, if the comic's good enough, then you have to leave a comment saying how much, like, dude, just come out, you know? Especially you ladies.
For once, I'd love to see somebody rise from their grave and just be like, alright, I had to rise from my grave because this comic totally sucks. I've been content not to comment when they're good, but now I've got to say something. We'll still call you out.
It's like, I've been following you guys for a long time and I can't stop and I wish I could because it's been terrible the entire time. Oh, boy. Alright, well, for every great comic comes great comments. This week's suggestion box was certainly
was
no different.
It was different because it was that much greater.
Alright, here's the thing. there were so many great comments that I really can't just nail down to one.
True.
So it would be nice to go over just a few of these. I mean, we had over 100, so we're going to do 99 of them, but no. We're going to do just a few. First, Brawler08, who said, "I love the Smash Bros. Logo and Ray's eye when Brawl comes up. Little known fact, that actually happens to him in real life, too." It's true. "I love how well you portrayed yourself in the comic. Also, can I go to the wedding? I'd even agree to wear a ridiculous Sonic costume if there's cake." Let me just say, first of all, how interesting it is to me that this Ray character, Cartoon Ray, no longer is me. Like, he used to be me. I used to be him. He used to just be a representation. And now he's like this off-the-wall... He's like the stereotypical version of me somehow. Like the extreme version that would never happen, but it's like funny to think.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting how that's evolved. I mean, you're still you still have the swimming pool money, but that's real, so. Alright.
Alright, Ray's next favorite comment goes to Chris Wilkerson, who said, "Great comic, but has anyone informed you what a furry is?"
No. Also, Nintendo Gamer 101 said, "I laughed so hard I almost threw up." That's not safe. You should probably have that checked out.
In fact, this week we're trying to make a comic that's not very funny so that we make sure everyone's safe. We don't want anything like that to happen.
They'll probably throw up in their mouth from how unfunny it is.
Or we'll have to put some sort of disclaimer when the website comes up. Like, we're not responsible for any physical damage to your body due to laughter. Well, Steve-O's writes, "Great comic. Let's hope this actually comes true one day." Well, I do hope you'd get married someday, but I'm not going to your wedding if that's what it looks like. Sorry.
GX Echidna said, "I think Ray made the right choice in ditching the first girl. Bright-eyed girls in pink with hair bands like that always wind up becoming more trouble than they're worth." This was hilarious to me because he was basically like, "Oh, it's funny how you made her like a Sonic character." I'm like, "Who?" He's like, "Amy." I'm like, oh my gosh, I did. Like, short hair, you know... hairband, pink. I'm like, apparently when I'm given the task of like, "Hey Ray, draw a girl," like I automatically draw a Sonic character girl. Like, it's ingrained in my mind what a female is now, apparently, from that.
Yeah, that's scary.
And he said, "Also, the wedding scene is completely ruined as she doesn't have the same eye color as Tails. Jeez, I thought Ray was supposed to be a Sonic fan." It's amazing to me how people notice these things, because even I thought about that.
I don't notice things like that.
I know, but, like, I do, because I am a Sonic freak, and I'm like, her eye should be blue, I believe. And I'm like, her eye shouldn't be that color. I'm like, oh, no one's going to notice. And then someone brings it up every time. Someone always finds it. Like, oh my gosh.
All right, Kaizen was our next comment. This was... don't even know what to describe it as. So messed up, we'll have to do. Funny, but really messed up. Well, that's what we were going for, basically. So I'm glad we succeeded.
Also, Ryman actually spelled my name right this week. Devin said, "Wait, does this mean you broke up with Jessica?"
Oh, gosh. Go back and listen to podcast, 32 or something.
Here's what I find so hilarious about this, because Devin always refers to himself as, like, the third person of the site, right?
Right, right.
Like, he's always been there and knows it all. Yet he's like, "Wait, did you break up with Jessica?" I'm like, really? Where were you? Did you miss that part? But he said, "Does this mean you can make an album called Ray Lean and the Orange Sunrise?"
Oh, gosh. Yeah. No more silver eclipse.
Oh, that was great. "Can I be your best man dressed up as Knuckles?" No. "Can I hold the gold rings with Chaos Emeralds on them?" No. "Since Chip is involved, will Ray turn into Were-Ray when the moon comes up?" Yes. Oh, boy. It's inevitable. It will happen.
All right, Comatose 811. Good to see you surface again here, buddy. Will we be seeing unnamed Tails girl in the comic again? I hope so. She's perfect for you.
She is, isn't she?
That's a good point. We really ought to incorporate her. But the problem is now, they would be married, and if that was, you know, if this was canon.
What we can always just assume was, I mean, in some ways, when I have that look in my eye with the tear dripping down and my mouth hanging open, it could just be a dream sequence I'm imagining in my mind, right? So we might be able to pull that off. But yeah, maybe she could be like the girl gamer character or something. Which led me to wonder, like, because I do want to bring her back, honestly, because she's, well, first of all, she's hot. Just
raise one.
Sorry. Like, honestly, when I was drawing her, I'm like, actually, she's a cool looking character. I like her. She's pretty nice. Like, she seems like a good fit for me. And so, yeah, I would like to bring her back. And she has that kind of color thing going on where we're red and blue and we have the yellow. So, I mean, this would work out, I think. So, question is, what should we name her?
Well, we had a suggestion on that, right? Miley?
Yes, we had Raylene, and we had, I always said Raymona. Funny story about that. Second grade, they misspelled Raymond, switched the D to an A. So everyone's second grade photo sheet has Raymona Hargraves.
Wow.
But yeah, I think actually Miley is a great name.
It really is.
And that is all thanks to, who was it?
Miley Cyrus.
No. No. Who said that? It was Gdoink.
Gdoink.
Gdoink brought it up. So thank you, Gdoink. I think we have a name, and it is Miley, because it goes for miles per hour, which is tails, and I think that works in quite well. So thank you, Gdoink. Badnik Hunter said, not so sure where the fiction ends and the reality begins. Yeah, me neither. There are so many nubby elbows that it is just ridiculous. And press A to marry her? Wow, this is just your dream, isn't it? Sadly, yes.
Shady McTintington. That's a longer one, but I think it was pretty meaningful. So he says, this is not only one of the best comics on the site, but one of the best gaming comics I've read. On the one hand, it's poking fun at how desperate a gamer is when it comes to dating. Ray is willing to marry someone over just a couple of games that came out 10 years ago. On the other hand, it's a representation of attaining that impossible dream of finding a girl who not only doesn't think you're a loser based on your hobby, but also understands it. On the other hand, it's anthropomorphizing the gaming industry. We've got the consoles constantly trying to appeal to the non-gamers until they have just become glorified PCs. Then the consoles that have games, but nothing that really appeals to the gamers. But then there's always the one shining example of awesome that reassures you that everything will be okay and that all you love does exist, does and will still exist. That, or it's all just an awesome joke. Either way, NCG. I think it did touch people in a certain way. It's like, you know,
I think they could relate, yeah.
You can relate when it's like, yeah. I have this hobby, and, you know, women a lot of times don't really care about video games, and wouldn't it be awesome to date or marry a girl that is totally into that, too, and, you know, we could debate that for hours.
And
but,
honestly, on these dates, like, from talking to some of these girls, like, sometimes I would think to myself, like, if only they could see an image of my room right now. Like, I don't know if I brought this up before. It's like, little do they know, I actually did bring in that Sonic stand-up life-size version of him to my room. It's like for me, it's like I have to slowly walk someone into this universe I'm in, because they just, upon seeing it from the outside, it's like, this is insane. But I think if they get to know me a little bit, they'll understand what I enjoy so much.
Well, it's kind of a test. Like, hi, my name is Ray. This is a picture of my room. And this is my website. Do you want to go on a date?
Right.
And if they say yes, wow.
Right.
Marry that girl. That's basically what this comic represents.
All right, Wrench Monkey said, I have an important question. Did Ray and his wife take off the costumes on their wedding night? Okay, it's just a comic, you guys.
Going there.
But no, we wouldn't. Go ahead, what's your next one?
My final one is to Mad Cow, who said, totally awesome. I would love to see them giving each other those giant Sonic rings. And that was funny because I mentioned to Ray, hey, hypothetical bonus comic. Tim, as the best man, I don't know who he'd be dressed up as, hands Ray the rings when they're giving their vows, and they're huge, you know.
Yeah,
Sonic,
yeah.
You know, golden
like the
rings.
Actual, yeah.
Yeah, from the game.
And I was like, I thought it should be like a secret ring, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the fiery ring and like an arrow through her heart, you know? The fiery arrow through her heart.
Oh, boy.
Which it is a fiery arrow, right? Did they go over that in the game?
I believe so, yes.
But yet it just looks like fire is coming out of his chest.
Yeah.
Come on, people. Get some.
I try to erase all those memories. You know.
I don't. All right. And so, boy, let's take a break from the comic. it was great. Had a lot of fun. Glad you guys really liked it. We're glad you guys read the site. We love all of our commenters. You guys are fantastic. And anyone who reads the site or listens to our podcast means everything to me, not Tim. And we hope you guys stick around. So moving on, we are gonna shift gears and do a little bit of Rick-a-Rick-it, a remix. With this segment, I dish out a video game remix favorite of mine, who it's by, and where you can grab it. This week, it's a remix of the castle theme from Super Mario World. It's done by the artist Aero Z, and is titled Turning Terrors. Take a listen to a quick sample. Your music collection. I've got a link up right now for those of you listening to the M4A version of the podcast. Otherwise, you can just head on over to ocremix.org and track it down yourself. If you guys ever find that, I mean, I assume there's probably a lot of people who only listen to the MP3 version of the podcast. Mm-hmm. If any of you listening to the MP3 version ever feel like there are lots of links that you'd like to get that are only available in the M4A one and want me to post it in the comment section or underneath the post, like the actual links relevant to this podcast, let me know. I might start doing that.
Good idea.
Just want to see if there's actual need for it first. Well, it's that time everyone worries about, but it's here. It's time for the dreaded, endearing Black Doom Award. Each week, Tim and I both mentioned a terrible choice made related to video games in honor of the worst character Sonic Team has ever created, Black Doom. Well, my Black Doom Award is going to go to Warner Brothers Interactive. And that's because of a new game that was recently announced called Lego Rock Band.
Really? You're not a big fan of...
I have some issues with this. Like, it made sense with Star Wars because the ships could all be made out of Lego pieces and they could use the Force to pull them apart and put them together. And they've done a pretty good job of, like, merging that into Lego Indiana Jones. You know, it's like, okay, that's cool, it's funny. And also with the Batman and Robin stuff, it makes a little bit of sense. But, like, if you look at these screenshots, what has to do with Legos in this screenshot?
I guess the guy's hand.
Right, the person. I mean, obviously he's a Lego, right? I mean, he's a Lego person.
Looks like the symbol in the background on the drum set is Lego-ish.
Yes, the drums are made of Legos. Anything else?
No, not really. Oh, well, there's a couple Legos on the ground in the background.
Yeah, just sitting there on the ground. It's like, oh, let's be creative. Let's just put random Legos on the ground. You know, like, they'll just mean something, I guess. It's weird. It's like, if we can get away with doing Legos for this game, like, anything's open now. Like, anything could be a Lego game. Like, oh, all we need to do is just paint their face on people and have a couple of random Lego blocks on the ground. Like, oh, it's Lego anything. You know, it's...
I see your point, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, okay, great, you can have these people, you can have these Legos look like the actual, you know, performers, but, like, you don't have Lego guitars. You know, it's like, okay, let's just make things, let's make guitars that would, that look like they'd be made of Legos. Like, that's not the point of these Lego games. The point of the Lego games is that it's funny because it's all made of Legos, and they start stretching it when they have textures and worlds that aren't made of Legos.
Sure.
To me. Like, those, that's just a little weird. And, like, this is just, like, the extreme version of, like, hey, what else can we do with Rock Band that hasn't earned us enough money yet? Oh, I know, let's release something that kids will be like, ooh, Legos.
Well, here's, I mean, I see your point, and I think you're right, but I do see a value to what they're doing. At first, I was like, this makes no sense at all. But, and I think Penny Arcade mentioned this, and it makes sense to me. You know, the Lego brand is like a family-safe brand. You, if you're buying your kids a Lego game, you're pretty much for sure not going to hear like a Lego guy cussing or something like that, or killing somebody, or... you know, doing something horribly violent.
No,
or...
you'll hear that out of the people playing it when they fall off the ledge for the 100th time.
That is
they
true.
Can't tell it's the edge of a ledge. It's like, hey, what's this? Oh my gosh, it's poison acid on the ground? Oh, my bad. I just sank right through it.
Yeah, it's a red Lego. Come on, you should know that.
It's like, oh, is this quicksand? It looks like dirt. Oh, I lost all my studs.
But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a... it,
yes.
The branding is, like, family safe. So... you know,
I agree.
You have Rock Band with, you know, rock music that maybe some parents don't think is a good influence. And so now it's like, we want a Rock Band game that has songs that kids can play and enjoy and have the fun without the influence, whatever we don't like, you know, as parents or something. So in that way, it makes sense because you're giving a known brand. You're kind of merging the two brands into something that hasn't really been done before in that genre. But... you know, what you're saying is true, that the fun of the Lego games for, you know, for non-kids even, is that, you know, you're seeing all, everything creatively done as Legos.
Yeah, you're seeing the things that you know and love as Lego things. And it's funny because it's like, oh my gosh, there's Obi-Wan Kenobi, isn't he hilarious looking? Or that's C-3PO, and those are easily recognizable people. And now it's like, are kids going to recognize the artists of these bands?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, they're not. It's
I don't know who it's what kind of music is in there, but...
I mean, the only songs that they have right now are, like, Blur, Song 2, Carl Douglas, Kung Fu Fighting, The Final Countdown, Boys and Girls, and So What.
Yeah, you're not going to know the...
yeah, it's
the
like...
artists. I don't even know the artists.
Kung Fu Fighting, really, like... yeah, they're not going to know the artists. I mean, so that's what's kind of... it's kind of... like, I get it. I understand. I think... I mean, there's obviously room to disagree here. I know your opinion's different. That means it's wrong, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, I'm kidding. But seriously, it's wrong. And, like, it's not done for the right reasons. It's hard for me to pin it down, but honestly, like, it's just... it's going off the deep end. It's jumping the shark a little bit, is how I would put it.
In some ways, they're doing right with... They're correcting the wrong that Nintendo did with stupid Wii Music, in that they're giving a family-based music game that doesn't have stupid... necessarily have stupid songs, but
yes,
as far as applying the logo, the Lego brand to it, they're probably not going about it the best way possible.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with you there. Well, my Black Doom award is going to go to... there's just a need to vilify video games, I think, in the media, and there was, I don't know if you remember, if you saw this a few days ago, there was a poll that came out that all the, you know, it's, you come out with a study and every, if it's popular, then all the news outlets will report on it as though it's like fact, right? So mm-hmm. All the news outlets report that this study came out that 8.5% of America's youth are addicted to video games. Now, that's ridiculous in my opinion.
It should be like 32%.
Of course, no. people use the word addicted way too much in general, I think, you know? Like, when I think of an addiction, that's like a chemical, you know, reaction to something. Like, if you're addicted to alcohol, it's like there's this chemical need in your body. You become dependent upon it. If mm-hmm. you're playing too many video games, that's a self-control issue. You know, if your parents allow you to play 30 hours of video games in a day, even though there aren't 30
hours.
Wait,
hold on. You mean the parents have a responsibility in
this? Unbelievable, isn't it?
No, I see. I think the kids should be in control.
That's
they should
right.
be able to run M-rated games. It's their decision.
But okay, so regardless, you know, 8.5% of American youth addicted to video games. That's
kind
of silly to me. Now, there was the ABC News director of polling, Gary Langer, took a look at the actual study instead of just reporting on it, and he said, you know what, there's a problem with the study. A, it's an opt-in kind of study, which, you know, if you know anything about statistics, you don't just say, hey, are you addicted to video games? Yeah, okay, well, do my survey. You know what I mean? Like, this was like, this is a survey about how much video games you play. Instead of saying, I'm going to call this random person, do a random sampling of people, and find out what, you know, in the general population. Like, for instance, if you look at the Wii voting channel, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a different response to certain questions on that than you would in the general public, because that's a sampling of just Wii owners.
Yes.
So if you ask them about video...
Who have an internet connection.
Who have an internet connection, who know enough to, you know... Yeah, exactly. So you're very specific on who you're interviewing. So obviously there's a problem with the survey that that just, you know, self-selects who they want to be answering the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a problem. And then just the fact that all these news outlets will just say, oh, sure, we'll take that number and report it, and that's sensational enough to, you know, warn families that, you know, your kids are playing too much video games and this and that. And, you know, what happened to real journalism? Like, let's take a look at this and see if it's really newsworthy or not, you know? I mean,
yeah.
That's just kind of sickening. And we see this every time there's a shooting, and the police will go into the shooter's house and find out that he had a copy of Halo on his desk. And the only thing that the news reports is he was an avid video game player who did nothing but sat in his house and played video games all the time. Really?
Right.
Or is that just a way to connect to you know, excuse what he did or find blame for what he did? Like, it wasn't his choice to do something evil. It was because of video games, you know?
I mean, I play video... I murder people all the time, but it's not from video games.
Of course not.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have much to say on that. I just don't want to get caught.
Well,
do you want to wrap up the show?
Let's do it.
Finally, we would like to end the show with Musical Misfits. Some great video game songs have been lost in the shuffle over time, and we play one in full after the show's over for those who are interested. I get to trade off every other week with our listener suggestions, so you guys can enjoy my choice from the game Rocket Knight Adventures. The song is from level 2-2. I'm sorry, 2-2. My apologies. So that will do it for this edition of Two Piece Start Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic and every Monday for a brand new podcast. Just like the one you heard here, except better. With that, he's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Video games.
I mean, I play
you know?
Video. I murder people all the time, but it's not from video games.
Of course not.
Yeah.
So that's my beef.
Did you find Sarah yet, by the way? Oh,
did
sorry.
I find
no,
her?
Never mind. I'll take that out.